Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, despite the fact that some of our children are returning to school on Monday, it remains to be seen what effect the isolation of the last year has had upon the kids of Ireland. And for those living in poverty, having been stuck in a hotel room for the past 12 months, those effects will have been magnified many times over. The Ombudsman for Children, Dr. Niall Muldoon, joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Niall.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Are there any indications as to what kind of effects this has had on kids?
There's been a number of bits of research. My colleague across in Wales would have done a survey last week, or came out last week, in relation to 20,000 children in her age from 7 to 17. And the main findings she found were, one was loneliness is a huge issue for the children and young people, and the sense of anxiety and separation and isolation. And the second one is the impact on their learning. I'm not sure if she went into the homeless sector in her survey, but my guess is those things will be magnified because those children, as we know, are already in the isolated and lonely bracket anyway, and they have a sense of stigma to where they live and a sense of isolation because they oftentimes keep it as a secret from their friends. So that, as you say, would be magnified in those circumstances.
Yeah, and even anecdotally, are you hearing many reports in this country?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no doubt that the general population of children are definitely feeling higher levels of anxiety, an increase in mental health issues. There's a known increase in eating disorders and, as I say, widespread anxiety. But the general gist is a level of sort of melancholy. But then the children that are in the socioeconomic and more vulnerable range, both socioeconomically and perhaps with disability, are feeling it much more acutely. And mental health issues are rising, challenging behaviours are rising with children with disability who've been out of routine, out of losing their therapists, their speech and language, their OTs, their psychologists, and having no respite as well. So there's a lot of issues going on for those children.
Yeah, and because they don't have access to the services, I imagine there's a range of...
Yeah, the education system is oftentimes the route to get the services that they rely on a regular basis, and that's closed, and also the respite centres are closed as well. So the parents are working 24/7 around the clock with their children, and with the lack of routine, that can be difficult for both parties, the parents, the siblings, and the child with disabilities.
Yeah, I suppose, though, given that we're in something of a firefighting situation and new problems pop up every day as a result of this pandemic that perhaps hadn't been anticipated, because it's difficult to anticipate anything, is everything that could be done being done?
You can acknowledge it is a firefighting situation at times, but there are things you can plan ahead for, and that's what I've been sort of challenging the government on. I went to meet the Minister for Education in September last year, and one of the two items on my agenda were, what's the plan for the next lockdown, and what's the plan for the Leaving Cert in 2021? And the answer was, we expect to run the 2021, and we hope we can keep the schools open. So no planning was done, no negotiations with unions were done, no education parties were brought together. My sense is that we could have agreed a plan as to who comes back and in what order and with what protections before Christmas. But instead, we waited till January when the government decided to announce it and then had to negotiate. And since then, we've been negotiating in fits and starts and in a way that doesn't guarantee that the return to school now will be the same if we have a spike in September. So we're not necessarily filling our families with confidence as to what's happening and how it's going to be played out into the future.
So does that mean that when all this is over, whenever that is, but, you know, working on the assumption this is sometime towards the end of this year, that things will be worse rather than better?
Well, I think I would expect there will be a lot of hangover problems for this. There's no doubt about it. I mean, children with special needs and children who are vulnerable with special educational needs have lost the guts of 30 weeks of education. They've regressed in both their education and in their social skills. That is going to have to be caught up with. General population as well within their education have lost ground, and there will have to be some sort of a plan for catch-up education and catch-up socialisation for those children as well.
And this is something we might be looking at later on in the show, but would you at least consider the idea that perhaps the school holiday should be shortened this year so kids can catch up?
Well, again, I mean, holidays are a positive in and of themselves, and everybody, the teachers have still been working, even if it is remotely.
Mm.
I suppose there has to be how they do it is will be up to the department. But my sense is we do have to find some way of catching up, whether that's at weekends, summer camps. I would love to see something, again, innovative, something where, you know, the child goes to maybe a GAA camp or a soccer summer camp, and then the 2 hours afterwards they do geography or history or Irish. You know, you're building it together that they can have fun and education, and it becomes sort of part of the catch-up. It could be done across the summer. There's ways of doing it, but they do need to be planning it now. And again, you can see my concern is that every negotiation is done on the cuff in a crisis, whereas now, say, what are your plans for summer? How are you going to catch up with these people? How are you going to give them the opportunity? So whether it's reduced holidays, which is not necessarily a positive all the time, but or bringing in maybe fourth-year teachers, bringing in substitute teachers, bringing in people who are volunteering to be teacher or volunteer their time. It's not compulsory to teach. But finding a way to do it needs to be talked about now and confirmed now or as soon as possible so that, again, people can make their plans around it.
Yeah. Now, you gave an interview in the Irish Times the other day and you spoke about a COVID dividend for children. Mm. Explain what you meant by that.
Again, I suppose I one of the things that concerns me is that we come straight out of this and we go straight into a recession, and the first people that are hit are children. And that's what happened in the last economic recession. Children were not protected. And under the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child, it is compulsory to protect children as long as possible and reduce their rights in a minimal impact. What I'm asking the government to do now is to take their heads up and look around and say, can we be bold and create a dividend for the children so that things change after COVID in a positive way? And what I'm suggesting is things like the PUP now becomes a baseline for a living wage. And if every family in the country has a living wage, then immediately you're taking every child out of poverty and you're creating a different opportunity and a different future for those children in one fell swoop. It took them only 3 weeks to create the PUP, and we've maintained it for 6, 7, 8 months now. And there is an opportunity to use that now into the future for the socioeconomically deprived children and their families and create a new future for them. And if you're doing that, then the education system will change as well, because those children will be better able to educate themselves. They'll have a better household to go back to. Parents will be able to re-educate themselves and reskill themselves. Unemployment should go down. And even further, if you're willing to borrow even further, you look at changing the housing. You know, create enough money, borrow enough money at this stage so that housing is eliminated within 5 to 10 years. Direct provision is eliminated. And you create a whole new society on the back of a COVID crisis. This is the sort of thing that happened with the Marshall Plan in Europe, where Germany came out of the war and became the strongest economic force in Europe. It's also the NHS came out of the crisis of a Second World War. You know, those sort of thinking, forward thinking and really brave thinking. We've never been at a cheaper time to borrow money. This is the time to create a new future for our children. And really, we will come out with a different psychological approach as a society. It won't be, the COVID was a nightmare. We'll say COVID was a nightmare. However, we have changed our future for everybody.
Yeah. And when you say kind of adapting the PUP, are you talking about a kind of a universal basic income for everyone?
That'll be something to work at and look at. And can it be done? You know, we now have got we have a baseline. We said, listen, we've within 3 weeks, they figured out what do people need to survive. And now we need to look at who could need that in the future. And it means that our children are never falling through it. The alternative is the ESRI came out with a piece of research recently that said by 2022, we could have 13.7% of our children in child poverty, which is a rise of up to 6% because of COVID. So we can either go back and use the same style of normal, or we can think differently and change the landscape for everybody and, you know, really come out of it with a bang, and that change the way Ireland sees the future and the way Ireland drives into the future.
Niall, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That's Dr. Niall Muldoon, and the Ombudsman for Children, who was just re-elected for the second time.
Moncrief on News Talk.